This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Josh writes about knowing an executive headhunter. This is a person who tries to recruit people to leave the company where they're at now, presently serving, to go to work for another company. And I guess this guy that he talked to was quite successful at what he did. He was good at recruiting people to go to other companies. He had a whole style that he would try to disarm the person. He would try to get this man or woman to relax. He said, if I was wearing a suit, I would take off my coat and tie and put my feet up on my desk. I would perhaps offer them a drink, different things to relax them. And then he said, I would disarm them with pleasant, light conversation. And then right in the middle of the conversation, I would always ask these executives the same question. What's your purpose in life? And he said that usually provokes some deep discussion, that provokes some discomfort where they were, dissatisfaction where they were, and led to their being open to going to another company. But he told Josh McDowell about an incident that he wasn't prepared for. He met with this young executive who was quite successful in his career, trying to recruit him for another company, went through the whole litany of what he did, took off his coat, his jacket, and his tie, and just tried to relax. They were talking about football. And he sits up and says, what's your purpose in life? And here's what the young executive said: to go to heaven and to take as many people with me as possible. To go to heaven and to take as many people with me as possible. I want to suggest to you what happened to that man was that his eyes were opened to a spiritual reality that that man that was interviewing him didn't have. This man saw things in life that perhaps he didn't see 5 years earlier or 10 years ago. Part of coming to Christ, listen very carefully, is having your eyes open to what really matters to see. Some of you can testify to the fact that before you came to Christ, you were blind. Physically? No. 20/20 vision, perhaps, physically. But you were blind to spiritual realities. You were blind to sin in your own life. You were blind to the misery of other people. You were blind to the way people were feeling around you. But when you came to Christ, the light of Christ that came into your world also brought sight to your eyes, and you received your sight, and you were able to see things that you never saw before. I know I've told it before, but it always touches me every time I think about it. My dad came to Christ as an adult. I still remember him telling me many, many years ago, he said, when I became a Christian, he said, I looked at you two children differently, my sister and myself, the two oldest. He said, I looked at our house differently. I looked at the car differently. He obviously looked at his job differently because he gave his job up as a sales manager of a company in Chicago to go prepare for ministry. His eyes were open to a new reality. And today we're going to talk about how Jesus, in healing a blind man, gave him new sight. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him a question, I might say parenthetically, that may sound strange or even stupid to some people. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. This is a famous story that's recounted in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark identifies the man by name and says his name is Bartimaeus. He's healed by Jesus of his blindness. It's a powerful miracle. Anytime someone who is blind is given sight, it's considered a miracle today. You may remember the story I told you about a woman from New Zealand who was blind for 25 or 30 years, fell in her apartment, obviously, because she said when you're blind, you fall all the time. And you may remember this story. She hit her head on a coffee table. The next morning, woke up and she could see for the first time in 30 to 35 years, and she called it a miracle. She's absolutely right. To be blind or sightless for 30 years and then being able to see, it was a tremendous miracle that she says, she claims, was a miracle of God, not just a miracle of the coffee table hitting her head. And I can understand why she would say that. To be blind and unable to be see is a tremendous thing. I want you to notice that this man is blind. I want to talk about blindness here first. In fact, let's bring up that first verse, verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Blindness was not considered a handicap in this day and age. Listen carefully. Blindness was considered a curse. Did you know that? They didn't look at people who were blind and say, well, he's handicapped. They said, he has a curse on his life. You say, how do you know that? You remember the story in John 9 where there's a blind man that's approaching Jesus and it says he was blind from birth. And get this, the disciples asked Jesus, is this man blind because of sin in his life? Or did his parents sin? Now, isn't that intriguing? People thought of blindness as a curse that was the result of sin, even in the life of the blind person. And here he's blind from birth, which, do you know what that implies? They actually believed that it was possible for a baby to sin in the womb of his or her mother. That's the thinking of the day. And the disciples want to know, did he commit some sin in utero in the womb of his mother? Or did his parents sin? And I've told you this before. This is a word for somebody today. In John 9, Jesus said, neither. This man is not blind because he sinned. He's not blind because his parents sinned. Jesus shocked his audience by saying, he's blind so that the work of God might be demonstrated in his life. Isn't that amazing? Which may give some meaning to something going on in your life, what you call a handicap or a curse. God says, let me use it to demonstrate or manifest my strength. Our men are watching a video series by Neil Jeffrey, who was a quarterback for Baylor University and the San Diego Chargers. What's intriguing about him as a public speaker is that he stutters. And I mean he stutters, and he totally locks up. And as we're getting deeper into the series, and I'm watching ahead of the men, he has some pretty dramatic lockups, as I would call it, where he just stops. He cannot move on for several seconds. Or many seconds in one case where he just cannot come up with the next phrase. And you say, what a handicap. What a curse. May I tell you what it is? God manifests his strength through Neil's weakness. And God uses his stuttering. It's as if God says, Neil, let me use your stuttering and I'll magnify it in such a way that it'll actually be a strength in your ministry. And I believe that's an example. This happened that God's work might be manifested in his life. What's going on in your life right now that maybe an opportunity for God to manifest his blessing and power in your life? Well, let's bring up verse 37. There was a crowd going by and he asked what's happening. And verse 37 says, they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I love that phrase. I want to do something with this phrase that I've never done before. I want to suggest to you that in life and people's lives, there are opportunities where Jesus passes by and people don't even know it. September 11, 2001. There were people that were open to the words of Christ more at that time than any other time in my lifetime and maybe at no other time in my life. You know what I'm talking about. I had people ask me questions that never asked me questions before. There were people in the church I served in Atlanta that said people at work were asking them spiritual questions. People that never gave a thought to Jesus Christ or to the Bible or anything spiritual, wanting to know about heaven. What was happening? Jesus was passing by. This sounds strange to most people, but if you give me a choice and say, Randy, would you rather conduct a wedding or would you rather do a funeral? I'll say, I'll take the funeral. Most people say, why wouldn't you rather do a wedding? Aren't weddings happy times? Well, depends on the mother of the bride. Sometimes that can be pretty rough. And I'm serious. I have had some rough situations with mothers of the bride. I don't even want to go in there and talk about it, but that's true. Sometimes the mother of the bride can, you know, I'm not going to say what she turns into, but you know what I mean. I'd rather do a funeral for this reason. It's not morbid at all. Jesus passes by at a funeral. I didn't believe that personally. I really didn't. Until ministering in Columbus, Ohio, when a young man came up to me, probably mid-30s, came up to me at a wedding, of all things. And he said, Randy, you don't know me. I know you, but you don't know me. I was at a funeral you conducted 10 years ago, and then he named the person. I was not a Christian. I was not a believer in the Bible. I wasn't a believer in anything. But that day, when I heard you speak at so-and-so's funeral, and I had long forgotten what I said at that funeral, he said, that was the day. That was the day that I gave my life to Christ and decided to become a follower of Jesus Christ. What happened at that funeral? Jesus passed by. Now, I want to take that even a step further. You realize that in the lives of some people, you may be the only Jesus that people come in contact with? Isn't it sobering to think that Jesus may pass by somebody at work through you? Through your conversation, through your words, through your example, or lack thereof, Jesus passes by through believers. Jesus passes by through circumstances. Jesus passes by at funerals. I'll tell you one more. Jesus passes by in hospitals. I've gone to the hospital so many times in my life that I can sense what's going on when I get on an elevator with people. I can sense when they've been called because somebody's either dead or dying. That happened to me at Grant Hospital in Columbus. I got on the elevator and a family got on. I could just feel it. And so I just was bold and I said, folks, did you just get a phone call to come down here? And they said, yeah, Dad's dying. And I said, you don't know me, I don't know you, but would you allow me to go with you to pray with your dad? And we went in there and Dad was already dead. And we just formed a prayer circle. I didn't know if they were believers or not, but they all bowed their heads and we said, God, we just commit him to you. That was a moment for Jesus to pass by, and we've got to be open to those moments. We have to be open to those moments in our lives and in the lives of other people. Let's bring up verse 38. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then go into verse 39. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to talk about some things that are not obvious in the language, the English language, but here's what I found out. In verse 37, the term he shouted was where you just yell out to get attention from someone. Hey, over here. That's shouting. But the verb that's used, the word that's used in 38, get this, is where a person screams like an animal. You've heard that scream sometime, where a person is screaming for help. A person is in grave danger, life and death, and they're screaming for help. And that's the word that's used in verse 38. What it tells me is this. This man was so desperate to have Jesus come to him, he was willing to scream like an animal. And you say, what's your point? Some of you have been there in your spirit. Some of you may be there right now. It's long gone where you've been saying, God, help me. Now it's God, help me, almost like an animal crying out for help. Wailing for help. And you've been there and you may be there now. And this man was determined. He was persistent in his calling out to the Lord, have mercy on me. And I love the phrase that he used. He doesn't say, Jesus, heal me. He says, have mercy on me. What's interesting, the book of Micah in the Old Testament, the 7th chapter, I think it's the 19th verse, says God delights in showing mercy. I love that. What do you delight in? What gives you a kick? Showing anger? Being mad? Being bitter? There are people that delight in those emotions because they're the energy that keep them going in life. In fact, Frederick Buechner, a favorite writer of mine, writes this: of the seven deadly sins, anger is the most fun. I've never had anyone talk about a sin being the most fun, but he does. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come. To savor to the last morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you plan to give back. In many ways, it's a feast fit for a king. The only problem is what you are woofing down is yourself. Listen to that sentence again. The only problem is what you are woofing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. The skeleton at the feast is you. Verse 40, let's bring that up, 40 and 41. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, verse 41, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Isn't that intriguing that Jesus would ask the question, what do you want me to do for you? You say, isn't it obvious that he would want to be healed of blindness? No. You know why? He might have been used to his blindness in terms of people taking care of him. There may have been someone who fed him every day. There may have been someone who brought food to him every day. There may have been someone who carried him out to a place to beg. He may have had a lifestyle that he got very comfortable with. And maybe Jesus knew something about him. And I'm being facetious because Jesus knew everything about him. What do you want from me? Doesn't everyone who's blind want to see? No. Just like a lot of things in life where we don't want to be healed.
Well, this message concludes tomorrow on Cross Hope. I want you to hear the final part. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any other message you'd like to hear on Cross Hope. God bless.
There are a lot of people that are more comfortable and more secure in their sin than they are being free from that sin. There are people that are more secure in their bitterness than they are being free from bitterness. I really believe that's true, that people sometimes are more comfortable with bondage than they are with freedom. And that's why Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. Go to verse 42, if you will. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Receive your sight. I don't know if it happened in 10 seconds. I don't know if it happened in a millisecond. I don't know if it took a minute or two. But the greatest words, I think, for a blind person is to say, hear Jesus say, receive your sight. And I want to suggest to you that when the light came into the world in your life, the Lord was saying to you in a spiritual way, receive your sight. What is it that you see differently since you became a Christian, those of you that are believers? You know what it is. You used to look at things that were going on in your life in an approving way. Now you don't. There were things that you tolerated in your life and you looked the other way personally, and we all do that. You do that and I do that, and now you don't. There were things that you permitted that now you say, I'm not going to permit that anymore. Because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I have received my sight. Somebody here today needs to receive their sight spiritually. Somebody here needs to receive the gift from God that's called receiving your sight. Your faith has healed you. And I believe the Lord can do that in a powerful way. I don't know how many of you grew up in a background where you practiced Lent, every 40 days of Lent. It's a spiritual exercise that I think can be valuable. Maybe we who grew up without doing that could benefit from that perhaps. But it's always what I've noticed is that people give up things for Lent, like I'll give up chocolate. Well, I'll give up sugared drinks. I'll give up this or that. And we have our things we give up. But Faith Baldwin in her book, Living by Faith, said we could all try giving up some other things. How about the giving up the sweetness of revenge? How about giving up the bitter herbs of resentment? How about giving up the sharp spices of gossip? How about giving up the ego-building protein of vanity? How about giving up the strong stimulant of prejudice? How about giving up the heavy bread that nourishes unkindness? And listen to this. Some people need to give up the drugging wine of self-pity. Never heard that before. The drugging wine of self-pity. Jesus wants to do something in your life, and he wants to do it today. I want to close with a scripture. We're going to bring it up on the screen. It's Titus 3, 5 through 7, if we could bring that up. He saved us. God saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God saves us, Paul said in Titus, not because we're such good people, upstanding citizens, outstanding community servants. No, he saves us because of his mercy. Anything good in your life or my life is connected with the word mercy. Remember that. Anything positive in your life spiritually is connected to the word mercy. God wants to demonstrate his mercy in your life and in my life.
If you're a person who needs to see spiritually today, I'm going to ask you to pray to the Lord. Lord, I want to see. I want to see your love, your grace, and your mercy. And you know what? He'll give it to you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.